May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Father's Day, but according to the church calendar, it is also Trinity Sunday, which is one of the seven principal feast days in the Episcopal Church. Trinity Sunday always occurs 1 week after Pentecost, and it was approved by Pope John the 22nd in the year 1334, but it is probably more frequently associated with Thomas Becket, who was consecrated Archbishop of Canterbury on Trinity Sunday in the year 1162. Now, some Catholic churches will recite the Athanasian Creed on this day, and this was a creed written to combat the Arian heresy that denied the divinity of Christ. The Athanasian Creed is in our prayer book on page 864, and if you look it up, you will be relieved to know that we do not recite this creed in our Trinity Sunday service. It's quite long, and it's not too easy to follow either. It's a little difficult to follow all that's being said there. I've also heard for a long time that writing a sermon for Trinity Sunday can be problematic as well. I was teasing Mother Susan a bit this morning that there are some jokes floating about on Facebook right now about deacons being ordained and then asked to preach on Trinity Sunday. In fact, if you know memes on Facebook, there's a meme that to that effect that has our own Bishop Dabney ordaining a deacon and then to preach on Trinity Sunday. One reason that Trinity Sunday may be a little difficult in terms of subject matter is that it is the only feast day that does not honor an event, but instead it celebrates a dogma. And one quote that I found on this goes this way: "The Trinity is one of the most fascinating and controversial Christian dogmas. The Trinity is a mystery. By mystery, the church does not mean a riddle, but rather the Trinity is a reality above our human comprehension that we may begin to grasp, but ultimately must know through worship, symbol, and faith. It has been said that mystery is not a wall to run up against, but an ocean in which to swim. The common wisdom is that if you talk about the Trinity for longer than a few minutes, you will slip into heresy because you are probing the depths of God too deeply," which is probably a good reminder to keep my homily brief today. So, and then there's the gospel reading. And I winced just a little bit when I was looking at the Great Commission in the gospel reading this week, only because I feel that throughout the church's history, it has been used to justify some very unchristlike behavior in terms of creating disciples by subjugating native populations. If you overlook some of the ways we have misunderstood and misused Jesus' words to his disciples, then you begin to grasp the climactic message in this very short passage. Matthew repeats the word "all" and stresses the authority of Jesus, and the disciples are given universal mission based on this authority, based on Jesus' universal authority. The commission echoes the original mandate that you heard in Genesis to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. This is like the bookends to that original mandate. The command to go is not just about people you happen to meet in daily life, but about reaching out to unreached people. We are asked to make disciples, to bring people into relationship with Jesus as students are in relationship to a teacher. And whereas John the Baptist baptized the Israelites in preparation for the coming of Jesus, we are asked as disciples to baptize all people, a universal outreach, to complete the work of Christ. The disciples were asked to teach what Jesus commanded, not just the Old Testament laws, because the Old Testament had been fulfilled through Jesus, who is now the source of revelation. And on this Trinity Sunday, we remember that Jesus places himself in the midst of the Trinity. In this passage, we are charged to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew's gospel ends with the promise that Jesus will be with us in this endeavor to the end of the age, or as one translation puts it, the whole of every day. So what does this mean for us today? I would hazard a guess that most of us here today do not have plans to travel the world as missionaries. What is our vision for moving forward in the ministry and mission that has been entrusted to us by the triune God? I'd like to toss out one possible idea about Jesus' great commission for us today. I was fortunate enough recently to attend an e-formation conference at Virginia Theological Seminary. The conference focused on digital technology in today's church and how we might use our websites and Facebook pages and other technology to support Christian formation. In the first session I attended, author Meredith Gould opened with the disclaimer that if you had come to the conference wondering if the church should be using Facebook, you were probably in the wrong place. You should probably just go ahead and leave, because that question had already been answered in the affirmative. The question is, how and when should we use these tools most effectively to reach outside our own church walls and to serve to form our own congregations, our own folks? In one of the closing sessions, Meredith Gould talked a little about primary and secondary audiences and social media. She does a lot of consulting with churches and said she usually asks churches who they hope to reach through platforms like Facebook. And they usually will respond with some comment about outreach and potential new members. And she says she doesn't think this is correct. She says a church Facebook page is really for that church community. It's a way of promoting upcoming events and publishing things that are happening within the church family. However, when you as a member of St. Catherine's congregation choose to like our Facebook page and to comment on church news and to talk about how this has impacted you and what your experience has been here, and you are sharing this information on your own pages, it is at this point that your friends and your contacts, and sometimes their friends and their contacts, will see and hear about the impact of your church on you and your community. And there will be some that are drawn closer and want to learn more and want to hear what this place is and what this community is. Does this sound a little silly? Perhaps. We use tools like Facebook to publish pictures of what we ate for dinner last night and the latest best picture of our cats and dogs. But these platforms are also new communities, and they are building relationships. And these are communities that celebrate with you in graduations and weddings and births, and when the medical report comes back with good news. And they are also communities that are concerned about you and ask about you and pray for you and send you encouragement when things are going, the going seems rough. So I challenge you today to go be and make disciples in your daily walk, but also to go be and make disciples in this new online world. In this new world, as in our daily walk, Jesus' ministry and teaching are ongoing. And Jesus will be with us the whole of every day. Amen.